It's time for your KDNK local newscast for this Thursday morning, November 3rd. I'm Gavin Dahl. If you want some new insights behind Colorado's lengthy ballot battles, follow the money at work for and against measures, Eric Galatis reports.
Coloradans for Coloradans, the group working to defeat Amendment 69 on the statewide ballot, a measure that would create a universal health care system, raised five times more money than the initiative's proponents, according to new analysis by Clean Slate Now. John Biggerstaff with the watchdog group says most of the money opposing 69 has come from insurance companies that could lose customers if the amendment passes.
And the way we have our system set up right now, any corporation thinks it might cost them money, they can come in with millions of dollars and defeat it or support a measure that makes them more money. And so it's not a very equal system. That's the main inequity that we're trying to highlight.
He says more than 98% of the $4 million raised to defeat Amendment 69 came from corporations, PACs, and other interest groups. Coloradans for Coloradans received fewer than 400 separate donations, while Colorado Care, the group sponsoring the measure, raised less than $1 million from some 4,000 contributors. The Indiana-based health insurance company Anthem, which posted profits of $2.5 billion last year, ponied up $1 million to stop Colorado Care. Biggerstaff says whether you support or oppose the move to establish a single-payer health system in the state, the debate over 69 has not taken place on an even playing field.
Corporations, who of course have access to much larger financial reserves than a person does typically, they can now exercise the same right as a person. So if money equals speech and they have a lot more money, then they essentially have more free speech than the individual.
Oil and gas companies invested heavily to pass Amendment 71, an effort to make it more difficult, for example, to put anti-fracking measures onto future ballots. Amendment 72 to increase cigarette taxes and fund health initiatives received $2 million from health-related groups. Altria, the company behind Philip Morris and other tobacco products, contributed more than $17 million in opposition. This is Eric Galatis reporting for KDNK.
The Air Force released new details yesterday about a previously reported discharge of contaminated water into the Colorado Springs sewer system at Peterson Air Force Base. As our Rocky Mountain Community Radio partner KRCC's Jake Brunell reports, officials are now saying the discharge didn't quite happen as originally reported.
Officials now say only 20,000 gallons of contaminated water was actually released, significantly less than the 150,000 originally reported, and that it never actually made it to the sewer system. Peterson Air Force Base Commander Colonel Douglas Schess says the missing water ended up in a lined firefighting training pit, where it evaporated. He added that the earlier announcement was made prematurely.
In an effort to be transparent to our community, we may have released information on the possible water discharge before evaluating all of the possibilities.
Officials did, however, confirm that water containing perfluorinated compounds has been released into the Colorado Springs sewer system in the past. Colonel Schess explained that contaminated water was discharged roughly three times a year prior to 2015, when the Air Force now says it stopped using PFC-containing firefighting foams in training exercises. For 91.5 KRCC News, I'm Jake Brownell in Colorado Springs.
Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump may have a problem with Colorado's mail-in voting process, but he hasn't been to Garfield County. Amy Haddon Marsh and I visited Garfield County Clerk Gene Alberico to find out about the voting process and get some last-minute tips about where to take ballots between now and Tuesday.
This year is the first all-mail ballot presidential election in the state, and it looks like, so far, things are running smoothly in Garfield County. Gene Alberico has a whole system in place, starting with collecting ballot boxes and date stamping each ballot. The ballots are then put in batches of about 50 and scanned into the statewide voter registration system so voters get credit for voting.
And it's also the process that we use for verifying signatures on the return envelope to make sure that the voter who was sent that ballot is actually the voter who voted it and returned that ballot.
In a small room off Alberico's office, one Democrat and one Republican are verifying signatures on each and every ballot. Irene is the Democrat.
Every single signature gets verified. Every single one.
Each signature on the voted ballot is matched with a signature from an electronic file. If there is any question, the Democrat and the Republican talk it over. They have to agree that the signature is correct or incorrect. Not just one can make that determination. If they don't agree, then the signature carries. Once that happens, the ballots go downstairs to be processed.
All right. You got to sign in here.
Yep.
Pam Bunn showed us into a large room where a dozen or so election judges were sitting at tables sorting ballots. Each ballot undergoes several degrees of separation before it's counted.
All of these ladies out here are taking the batches once they've been verified upstairs, and they are making sure every ballot that is on the batch sheet is in that batch. And once they have done that, they pass them to another person upside down, and that person opens the envelope, and it then passes to another person.
That next person separates the ballot from the envelope and puts the envelope in a different pile. Then the ballot is passed to another person who takes it out of the secrecy sleeve, opens it up, and looks for anything that could spoil a ballot, like whiteout, or if maybe someone voted with a Sharpie and it bled through the paper.
And then they count how many actual ballots they have in that stack and talk to the first person to make sure that they have the same number. She has 50 envelopes, she has 50 ballots.
And what happens if somebody has crossed out one and circled another one and with arrows?
It continues into the counting room. Once in the counting room, it'll go to the resolution board. And they will choose voter intent by what that person, you know, they crossed it out and said not this one or whatever they put.
And is that done by two bipartisan people?
Yes.
Like the signature?
It's done by a team. Yeah, everything's done by a team. And like all of these teams are bipartisan.
Albarico says mistakes can be made during an election, but the election process in Colorado is definitely not rigged.
We have so many checks and balances in our whole system that, you know, for us to have a rigged election in the state of Colorado, there would have to be some major conspiracy among the 64 different counties.
If you have not voted yet, it's too late to return your ballot by mail. You can, however, drop it off at various voter service and polling centers throughout the county. You might want to write this down. Those voter service centers are the County Administration Building in Rifle, Parachute Silt and Newcastle Town Halls, and the Carbondale Town Hall. All of these centers are open Monday through Friday from 8 to 5, except Parachute, which opens Monday through Thursday from 7 to 6 and is closed Fridays. However, all centers will open this Saturday, November 5th, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. There are also 24-hour drop boxes at the Glenwood Springs Courthouse and the Rifle Administration Building. Then, on Election Day, you can bring your ballots to voter service centers at the Carbondale Town Hall, the Glenwood Springs Community Center, Newcastle Silt and Parachute Libraries, and the Garfield County Courthouse and Rifle Administration Building from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. For KDNK, I'm Amy Haddon Marsh.
Governor John Hickenlooper's nearly $29 billion budget proposed for the next fiscal year would increase state spending, but also make cuts in key areas. Rocky Mountain Community Radio Network reporter Benta Berkland has more.
Money that would be transferred to transportation to maintain and construct highways would be cut, and funding for K-12 schools would increase, but it wouldn't keep up with student growth and inflation. Local communities would also get less money from severance taxes from oil and gas drilling. Henry Sobenet is the governor's budget director. He says the reductions are because of a $500 million shortfall.
I think when you look at the conflicting rules that we have in our Constitution and then the softening of the revenue forecasts, we're trying to prioritize the things that people have told us to prioritize in the past.
The governor's budget is also proposing $16 million from marijuana taxes be used to help combat homelessness and help people with behavioral health and addiction issues. State lawmakers ultimately write the budget, and much of it could depend on the outcome of next week's election. Democrats currently control the House and Republicans the Senate. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.